Laudator Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. These are the stories coming up on today's program. As the three-week-long Synod of Bishops on the Word of God draws to an end, we assess its outcome. And we present episode 20 in our weekly radio drama entitled To the Ends of the Earth, based on the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's letters. Here in the Vatican, the three-week-long Synod of Bishops on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church has drawn to a close. The participants today voted on the final list of the private propositions to be presented to Pope Benedict, and the Synod will formally conclude on Sunday with the concelebration of a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, presided over by the Holy Father. In their final public message to the faithful released on Friday, the Synod Fathers said every Catholic should have a copy of the Bible, read it, and pray with it regularly. They also said devotion to the Word of God must lead Catholics to prayer, concrete acts of charity, unity with other Christians, and dialogue with all people of goodwill. At the same time, the message warns the true devotion to the Word of God excludes a fundamentalist reading of the Scriptures. The Synod's message was drawn up by a special commission chosen by the bishops and clergy with the right to vote. One of the members of that commission was Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga of Tegucigalpa of Honduras. He spoke to my colleague, Philippa Hitchin.
I think the message is beautiful and it will make a lot of good, especially to our faithful.
It's divided into four main sections, isn't it? Can you just briefly describe how you decided on this particular format?
From the very beginning, we were in agreement that it was necessary to give images because we live in the world of images and signs. And so we took four signs. First, the voice, because the Word of God started not as a written word, but as a proclaimed word. It was Moses who was listening to the voice of God. It was Abraham who was listening to the voice of God, and so on in the Bible. And so we started with the voice, the Word. But the Word was made flesh. So we have a face, a human face, Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate Word. Thirdly, where is that Word, that voice, and that face living? That is the question that the first two disciples asked to Jesus. Master, where do you live? And so, where is the Word and the Lord living nowadays? Has a house. The third image is the house, and the house is the Church. But the Word is not only proclaimed and given to us, and Jesus Christ is not only to be confined to the house. It is to be taken through the streets and through the highways to different places and different nations. That is why the fourth sign is the road.
That was Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga of Tegucigalpa speaking to Philippa Hitchin. A total of 55 propositions for consideration by the Pope was drawn up by the Synod Fathers. Archbishop Douglas Young of Mount Hagen in Papua New Guinea said he was pleased with the consultation process that went into the preparation of those propositions.
I was pleased with the way the propositions reflected the work of the last few weeks. They did seem to come out of a process of consultation, which covered the whole width and breadth of the Church throughout the world, East and West. It came out of the discussions that we had in small groups, out of the sharing on the floor from each one of the bishops who had the opportunity. I felt that they had come out of a wide and deep consultation process.
But overall, what assessment can be given to the findings and outcome of this synod? A question my colleague Charles Collins put to one of the synod's participants, Archbishop Donald Wuerl of Washington.
I think one of the joys of this synod, participating in this synod, has been the focus of this synod. The Word of God as the theme has brought together bishops and experts from around the world. And in a sense, there are almost two currents going on. They merge. But there is, from one perspective, a highly theological and theoretical look at the Word of God. And I think that's coming out of the fact that there are some 60 members of the synod who are graduates of the Biblicum. So they bring with them this richness of theological expertise and understanding. But another current that's a part of this whole synod is the pastoral perspective of the bishops. And that overlaps. The bishops who are also trained theologians in the area of Scripture are also pastoral men at heart too. But I have found the richness of this synod to be in the taking of those two perspectives and the mingling of them. I think what will come out of this synod is going to be something very helpful to the church.
Can you give us an example of this? You talk about the merging of the theoretical to the pastoral. Can you give us an example of how this could happen?
Well, one of the things that we have talked about at great length is understanding the Word of God in the context of the living tradition of the church, which of course differentiates us from non-Catholic groups, because we understand that the Word of God, Christ, articulated his revelation to us in the context of a living faith community, and that the writing down of that revelation, the writing down of that understanding of God's Word, took place within that context. That's been highlighted from the perspective of the deep theological reflection that involves. Now comes the pastoral application of that. How do we help people access the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, benefit from the Scriptures, but in the context of that living church tradition, so that we don't fall into the position of just opening the Bible and interpreting it any way you want? So what we're hearing in the synod is this rich theological explanation of why the Word is understood and articulated in the liturgy, in the church's magisterium, in the catechism of the Catholic Church, for example. And how does one, therefore, access that Word in that same way? For example, one of the things that we talked about was helping people take the Scripture, maybe for Sunday Mass, the Gospel for Sunday Mass, and develop that as their reflection point for the whole week. And maybe pastorally, we could even prepare some materials, very simple but useful materials, that would help a person or a group of people or even a family simply reflect on that gospel and what it means today so that it becomes a living part of their life.
There has been talk about the historical critical method versus other methods of looking at Scripture. You talk about how these merge in the pastoral way and how a family can take this. For example, someone might say, reading Genesis, for example, this was the Yahwist strain, or this wasn't, this was from a priestly strain. Would this be, some people argue, is this helpful at all to the person in the pews when you get this strong critical analysis? This is, some people would say, this is where you see this split, where some of the historical critical methods, some people say, don't have any bearing on the life of the faithful. Is that fair?
I think what we're seeing in the synod is an affirmation, a reaffirmation of the whole historical critical method, but placing it in the context of the theological methodology as well.
That was Archbishop Donald Worrall of Washington speaking to my colleague Charles Collins. And now we have episode 20 in our weekly radio drama entitled To the Ends of the Earth, based on the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's letters. We present today the 20th episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. In the last episode, you heard of Paul's letter to the Romans and of his return to Philippi and reunion with Lydia, then of a dramatic incident in Troas where he restored a young man to life. Today's episode tells of Paul's delirium when he relives his letter to the Galatians, of his farewell to the elders of Ephesus and of the prophecy of Agabus.
So it was that the disciples, Timothy and the others, set sail for Assos, where they were to take Paul on board. This was what he had arranged, for he wanted to go by road, a journey of some 30 miles. It was while Paul was walking to Assos that he had one of his attacks, what could be described as a dream delirium.
My God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. So I am the least of the apostles. I was merciless in persecuting the church of God. But God chose me while I was still in my mother's womb. Through his grace, chose to reveal his son in me. Oh, foolish Galatians, you mad. Has someone put a spell on you? I'm astonished at how promptly you have turned away to follow a different version of the good news. No, there is no other version. The good news I have preached is not a message I was given by men. It came through a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Get up now and go into the city. There you will be told what you have to do.
Yes. Yes, get up. I must get up. I can't see. I cannot see.
Hey, you! Are you all right?
Oh, he's out cold.
Hey, come here, son. Give me a hand. This fellow needs help. We better get him to the hut.
Are you there, Luke?
Not Luke, my friend. Just me and the boy. And the sheep for company. But don't worry, we'll get you fixed up.
My soul thirsts
A dry and weary land. No water.
No water? That's what he wants, water. You got any left in your water gourd? There, that's better. Now you just try and sleep a while. You overdid it, my friend, trying to walk in that heat.
Walk, yes, I must walk. I've got to get to Luke, the others. They're waiting for me. And Timothy, where's Timothy? Assos, I must get to Assos. Oh, my head.
Oh, just you lie down. You can't walk anywhere in your present state. You'll collapse again.
But I must get to Assos.
You'll get there, don't worry. It's not far from here. But you need to... Looks like he's off. Yeah, he'll be all right for a while.
But we're not going without him, that's for sure.
Of course not, Timothy. Anyway, the captain's a friend. Luke. We can count on him.
Luke, but, Timothy!
What's that noise? Luke. What's that shouting?
Look, Luke!
Timothy!
Everybody! It's Paul! Paul, where have you been?
Run and tell the captain he's here, will you, Aristarchus? And, Gaius, ask if you can make room for Paul in one of the cabins. I think he's going to need the rest. Tell him we're coming right away. Oh, Paul, here you are. But whatever have you been doing? You look...
Luke, it's been...
Quick, Timothy, he's going to faint.
Oh, Paul, why didn't you come with us?
He's sleeping deeply now. He'll probably dream, but when he wakes up, he should be himself again.
It's like before, Luke, isn't it? I thought he'd got over it. He's been so full of energy, preaching non-stop, never bothering to eat or sleep.
I know. He's phenomenal. But he sometimes pushes it just a little bit too far. And...
No, he did me no wrong. And you know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to at first.
He's dreaming of the Galatians. That's where he was, sick, the first time.
My condition was a trial to you, yet you did not scorn nor despise me, but received me as an angel of God. Oh, my little children, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?
What's troubling him, I wonder?
Oh, it's all right. He's just remembering what he wrote to them. He was really upset. Those... Judaizers, as usual, sent their men to turn the Galatians against him, persuade them to be circumcised, the law of Moses, all that.
When Christ freed us, he meant us to remain free. Stand firm, then, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. It is I, Paul, who tell you that in Jesus Christ, whether you are circumcised or not makes no difference. What matters is faith that makes its power felt through love. Love. Love.
He's quietening. That's good. He'll be all right. Timothy, you want to go up on deck? I'll stay with him.
Oh, all right. Yes, I'll go up and find out where we are. Should be nearing Mytilene by now.
You go, I'll be here. Don't worry.
Right. See you later, then.
Paul, are you awake? Can you hear me?
Luke, we're landing. Is Paul awake yet?
Paul. Paul awake. Paul never sleeps. No time.
You're still tired. Paul?
Tired? We must never get tired of doing good. Where a man sows, there he reaps. Who's this? Where am I? What? Oh.
It's Luke, Paul. We're on board ship, coming into harbour. You've been asleep. You weren't well. You went overland from Troas, remember? To Assos.
Troas, to Assos. But I'm going to Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I must go to Jerusalem. But what will befall me there? Who knows? Do you know Luke? You are Luke.
Yes, Paul. I am Luke. And now, do you think you can stand? I'll help you.
Stand. Of course I can stand. Oh, at least I thought I could. A weak vessel, Luke. Give me your hand. Ah, thank you. Whew. Serves me right for boasting, eh, Luke?
You coming, Luke? Paul, all right? Everyone's off.
We're coming, Timothy. Tell the captain.
Timothy. Ah, good. Yes. Yes, we're coming.
Gently does it, Paul.
Yes, I mustn't overdo it. Mustn't overdo it. Mustn't boast. You know, Luke, there's just one thing.
What's that, Paul?
The only thing I can boast about, Luke, is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I told them that, you know, those Galatians. I wrote to them. And I want no more trouble from anybody after this, I told them. For I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
They sailed from Mytilene the next day and arrived opposite Chios. The second day they touched at Samos, and after stopping at Trogilium, made Miletus the next day. Paul had decided to pass wide of Ephesus so as to avoid spending time in Asia, since he was anxious to be in Jerusalem, if possible, for the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, he sent for the elders of the church of Ephesus.
Don't understand. Why bring them over here? Can't he go to Ephesus some other time? I mean, after all...
Well, there may not be another time, Timothy.
What do you mean? Paul's not... You don't mean... These attacks. It's really serious?
No. It's not that. He's all right now. They come and go, the attacks. Paul himself knows the pattern now. Only he doesn't always take notice of the warning signs. No, it's quite another thing, Timothy. You see, now don't get upset, but, well, Paul's convinced that he's on his way to his death.
His death?
Over here, my friends, by this rock. There's Luke and Timothy.
Paul?
Oh, Paul. So they've arrived. Shall I go and call the others?
They're coming. We met them on the way. Now then, come, all of you, dear friends. Time is precious.
We came as soon as we got your message, Paul.
We would like to have received you in Ephesus, Paul. My wife was looking forward to...
I know. I'm sorry, my friend. Please understand. And now gather round and listen. My friends, you know what my life has been ever since the first day I set foot among you in Asia. How I have served the Lord in all humility, with all the sorrows and trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I have not hesitated to do anything that would be helpful to you. I have preached to you and instructed you, both in public and in your homes, urging both Jews and Greeks to turn to God and to believe in our Lord Jesus.
He puts it so well always, doesn't he, Timothy? Faith and conversion must go together.
Yes, he says that often. I think it was something the Lord told him. You know, he...
He's speaking again.
And now you see me, a prisoner already in spirit. I am on my way to Jerusalem, but have no idea what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit, in town after town, has made it clear enough that imprisonment and persecution await me.
What does it mean? Persecution? Imprisonment? Has the Holy Spirit revealed something to him?
You see, Timothy?
Oh, no. Oh, Paul!
Listen, my friends. Don't worry. You mustn't be concerned for me. I do not count my life of any value, as if it were precious to me. No. Life to me is not a thing to waste words on, provided that when I finish my race, I have carried out the mission the Lord Jesus gave me. And... that was to bear witness to the good news of God's grace. I now feel sure that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see my face again.
No.
And now, my friends, let us join together in prayer before we all say goodbye.
And so it was that the ship set sail. The voyage ended at Caesarea. It was there that Paul entered Philip's house and stayed with him. He'd been there several days when a prophet called Agabus arrived from Judea to see him.
Agabus, come in. There are friends here. Come this way.
Agabus? Surely, wasn't he the one who prophesied the famine?
That's right. He lives in the desert. He never comes into town unless he has something important to say. Oh, here he is.
Agabus, my friends, Paul, Luke.
What is it, Luke? He's going straight to Paul as if he knew him already.
He's taking Paul's belt.
What's he doing, tying up his feet and hands?
Shh, he'll tell us. Just wait.
This is what the Holy Spirit says. The man this belt belongs to will be bound like this by the Jews in Jerusalem. And handed over to the pagans.
You can't, Paul. You mustn't. They'll put you in prison.
Don't go, Paul. Not this time. It's dangerous.
Stay here with us. You shouldn't risk your life.
Don't go with us.
What are you doing? Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? Are you trying to weaken my resolution with your tears? For my part, I'm ready. Not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
And so, as he would not be persuaded, they gave up the attempt, saying, "The Lord's will be done." After this, they made ready and went up to Jerusalem.
You have been listening to episode 20 of our radio drama To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Steve Benares, John Gayford, Jack Gillen, David Horton, Frank von Kugelgen, Adrian McCourt, Edmund Purdom, Pat Stark and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Tommaso Palottino. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
Well, that's all for today, but we'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow, and you can always find our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.